Welcome to the Elixir Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. I wanted to do a quick rundown here of some news and notes from week two, right? So this is the second full week, I guess, of training camp, if you don't include the Hall of Fame game. So I guess we call it week two. Some news and notes here. I picked up some notes from a bunch of places, and then I actually looked at just the game stuff. So in no particular order. Brandon Cooks and Dameon Pierce both didn't play for Houston. That left Marlon Mack as the number two, and Rex Burkhead playing more in the passing game role. So some interesting sorting out there. Looks like Pierce could enter week one as the number one, Mack the number two. Burkhead is sort of that passing game role. Again, I don't know the ceiling of that, but that's interesting. Indy, JT and Hines. Both didn't play. Lindsay is the number three. I did know in, I think it was week one, where Nyheim Hines was actually playing as the number two, right, as a pure backup. So getting the full running back load and everything. So I think that's a notable thing there. I might have a higher view of Nyheim Hines, I think, coming out of this than I did maybe going in. There's some thoughts that maybe Chris Evans is pushing Samaje Perine for the backup spot, so we'll sort of see that as it goes along. I don't think he's there yet, but the thought is he could be contending for that. Maybe it's a little bit more of a split if Mixon's out. Tony Pollard getting some one-on-one coaching to become an effective slot receiver, so potentially moving him around. Rico Dowdell is being the running back three there. Again, this team, I think, it's got a pretty good offense, but he's got a lot of people banged up. Gallup's on his way back. You've got Tolbert. You got CeeDee Lamb's banged up. Like there's some injuries going on. You know, James Washington. Like there's injuries going on that could potentially limit this team a little bit and open up some opportunities for a guy like Pollard to potentially play in the slot. So be interested to see how that goes. Tanyan's still not really on his way back yet. Still without a timetable to return. That was as of last week. Was the note that I saw. No clear-cut replacement for him either at the tight end position. I think that's definitely an Alan Lazard type payoff situation. So if you're playing season long, that could be interesting. There's some thought that KJ Osborne will overtake Adam Thielen as the number two. I sort of chalk that up to that being fantasy related more so than it being actual real life usage. You know, it's a constant theme is, hey, we vault this guy up over a proven veteran. I think you got to be some caution on that. Johnny Mund is actually operating as the number one there in Irv Smith's absence. He came with Kevin O'Connell over from the Rams. So just a note there that he has some familiarity with the system. Homer played over DJ Dallas, 13 routes for DJ Dallas. He went 5 for 42 and 52 receiving yards compared to 8 routes, 1 target, 1 reception, 4 yards for Homer. Per PFF, Homer totaled 44 rushing yards from just 5 carries and a notable 85-plus receiving grade on the week. Foreman over Chuba Hubbard, but both worked together in the second series, so I don't know if that's necessarily a clear thing, but maybe if Hubbard gets to a spot where, hey, it's either Hubbard or a more clarified guy that maybe has a little bit less pedigree, we're probably switching over to Hubbard. I think Deontay Foreman, you got to make sure he's rostered. He's probably rostered in your leagues, but make sure he's on that. Ty Montgomery, full working running back and receiving role as the third running back in the pecking order behind Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, J.J. Taylor, Pierre Strong, and then Harris came later on. That was the order of which they played in the second preseason game. So Harris fully buried. You know, we'll see how that works out, but really they have 6 guys. So I'll be interested to see if someone's on the trade block and who that could potentially be. The rumor is kind of Damian Harris, so we'll see. Per PFF, Romeo Doubs continues to get open, but also continues to drop balls. He dropped 2 of his 5 catchable targets in this week's game. Sounds a lot like Ja'Marr Chase from last year. I know that's that seems like a ridiculous statement, but the drops were such a news story. To compare Romeo Doubs to Chase is obviously a lot, but it's they're not anywhere near the same players, I don't think, but it's a funny thing where you get some of this hype that actually got cooled off because of some drops in preseason. It's definitely a pattern repeating itself. The Saints in their preseason game, no Kamara, no Ingram, Tony Jones up first. Divino Zigbo actually playing in front of Abram Smith. So just keep a note on that. Smith has had some fumble issues. Seems to be slipping down the depth chart a little bit. Lance McCutcheon was a star of really the entire preseason. He might have the best preseason performance of a wide receiver. 6 catches on 89 yards and 2 touchdowns. Furthered his case for receiving roster spot after he had 98 yards on 5 catches as well. So you're looking at almost 100 and almost 200 yards through 2 games here. So pretty good. Dr. Gene wrote a nice article up. Stafford, if I'm going to summarize it here, will be fine. Maybe some accuracy issues. Doesn't have a concern that Stafford's going to be bothered by the pain or anything. Stafford's shown a high pain tolerance. Devin Singletary started and played every snap with the starting unit. He rushed for carried 4 times for 39 yards, 31 of which came after contact. It then came Moss, then James Cook. James Cook had a better performance as well. Isaiah McKenzie continues to lead the competition to be the Buffalo third receiver, playing 7 of the 10 snaps with the starters, while Jameson Crowder played 2. Gabe Davis was a touchdown, and he seems to be stepping out of the shadow of Jameson Crowder, which was the meme from early on in the offseason. Denver, no Javonte Williams, no Melvin Gordon. It's Mike Boone and then Stevie Scott in the backfield. Albert O played 10 of 19 snaps with the starting unit and was still playing deep into the fourth quarter at the tight end position. I think he's a clear one where deep, in the tight end twos, you have to take the shots on guys that have rare profiles, and he does. I understand that there's some concern about his usage right now. And, you get the people, hey, is there a tight end that's been relevant that's played in the fourth quarter? And here's the list of guys with the receiving yards. I mean, a lot of tight ends play. So I don't know. I wouldn't give a ton of that super consideration. But, Dulcich is slow coming along as well. Someone's going to have to play. And I think that, Albert O could be the guy. That could really explode, assuming that he gets everything right. It's a lot of blocking stuff is a lot of the rumors that you see. So we'll see there. Detroit's pecking order. This is a confusing backfield to me because it's kind of changing a little bit, but you have Swift, Jamal Williams, Reynolds, Jamar Jefferson, Justin Jackson. There's a ton of alliteration here. And Godwin Igwabuki. That was the order in which they used. Igwabuki's actually performed okay in and these preseason games, he's pretty buried. It's sixth on the depth chart. They're going to probably keep a fullback as well. So someone's going to get cut here. This could also be a situation if it's Justin Jackson, maybe he ends up as a backup someplace else. Could he be a backup for the Giants, for example? He's a name that I'm going to keep an eye on in particular. The Colts order after Nyheim Hines. Again, I said no particular order. I kind of just took these notes in a little bit of a ad hoc way. Philip Lindsay, Tyson Williams, Deion Jackson, and Price were the order after Hines and after JT. So JT 1, Hines 2, then Lindsay, Tyson Williams, Deion Jackson, Price. I will note that I think Deion Jackson actually plays on special teams, so there's a chance that if they only keep 4 guys, that it's him over Tyson Williams. Justin Watson, probably worth an add for the Kansas City wide receiver there. Got some good quotes there from Mahomes on him this week. He's performed well in training camp, has been a buzz player. Sky Moore, wide receiver 5 so far in training camp. So I'm still holding, but interesting sort of slow start to this season for him. Speaking of someone who doesn't have a slow start, Brian Robinson continued his running back 1 pursuit, 77 PFF grade, 27 yards after contact on 8 attempts. He had the first 3 carries. Antonio Gibson playing a little special teams, playing behind Robinson. So I don't know if like what the week one situation is going to be, but this is definitely a must watch, a really interesting story we're going to be watching here over the rest of training camp. I'm not selling Brian Robinson for a second. So it's got to be more. I think he's really the piece that you use to potentially go way up in at a different position, right? Brian Robinson is the type of piece you put in a deal that gets you an upgrade, you know, more so than he is necessarily you sell him for a pick, I think, because you're not going to get a first. You're going to need to sort of extract that and upgrade a different position. John Bates is dealing with a calf injury. Logan Thomas is off of PUP. There's some thought that he won't be ready for the regular season, but we'll see sort of. We'll watch there. Tennessee, Hilliard, Haskins, Chestnut was the order of which the first 4 series happened. So I'll be interested to see if Dontrell Hilliard's actually going to be the injury away guy. Haskins ahead of Chestnut right now. I've added some Chestnut. We'll see how that goes. I could potentially see myself cutting him again and just keep cycling through some guys. But Hilliard may be a guy if you're like 35, 40 man, he might not be rostered. That might be interesting watch there. Interesting Tampa. The report last week was that Rashad White was running back 4. He was behind Bernard and behind Keyshawn Vaughn. That flipped this week. Geo didn't play. Rashad White running back 2. Keyshawn Vaughn running back 3. So be interested there to see if Keyshawn Vaughn's going to be, maybe he doesn't make the roster. And if he does, he's probably going to be a cut candidate for anyone that has him. Vegas traded Mullins. It's notable, I think, because Jared Stidham has followed Josh McDaniel from the Patriots to Vegas. So leaving the snow for the desert, just somewhat nice for him. He went 7-for-10 in 80 yards and led the Raiders down for a score on his very first drive of the preseason game. And then Mullins gets traded to Minnesota for basically a conditional pick. So we'll see how that goes. Mullins might make Sean Mannion expendable, for example, there. So we'll see. I don't think it's necessarily a Kellen Mond indictment. I think Kellen Mond's already been indicted. No Jacobs, no Abdullah. It's Zamir White actually ahead of Kenyon Drake. So Kenyon Drake may find himself on the cut list. We'll have to watch for that. Gesicki playing a little bit more in line, doing some more blocking, played a bunch in this game. There's some thought that there's some displeasure with him based on his role, that the team wants more of a traditional tight end out of his role, and that probably is not optimizing him. So we'll see how that goes. Again, he's playing on the tag, and then he'll enter this year in free agency. Maybe we're going to be finding ourselves in a little bit of a buy low window for Gesicki. San Francisco backup running back situation is pretty clear. Sermon, Hasty, TDP was the order in which they played. Jeff Wilson is purportedly the running back 2 behind Elijah Mitchell, who's missed 2 weeks via injury. You know, we'll see how that unfolds. We'll see how that unfolds. Be interested to see if Hasty's going to make this team. He hasn't done a ton to warrant it, so we'll see. I'm definitely be interested in watching how that unfolds. Minnesota, Alexander Mattison went 3-for-17, forced to miss tackle, playing a little bit there, getting the rust dusted off. Zach Davidson is a guy, he dropped 3 of his 4 targets on the night. Potentially, hey, could he vault himself into being relevant for Minnesota if Irv Smith isn't there? Not looking good so far. Trubisky and Pickett both actually played well. Pickett had 10.9 yards per attempt and 100% adjusted completion percentage for 7 pass attempts. Notably, Kenny Pickett was at like 2.5 seconds to throw. Trubisky was at 3.5. Again, the sample size is small, but Pickett, a big concern and question about him has been kind of like a slow processing speed as he's come into the league. Very much flip-flopped. He's been quick. Trubisky's been the one taking forever. So we'll be watching that and sort of see how those guys process. But that's not usually something that gets quicker as a rookie. So notable there with Pickett that he's maybe processing better than people gave him credit for. Benny Snell started. He played the first 3 series before Jaylen Warren came in. So I know that there's some thoughts that Warren's going to take over for Snell. Not immediately that hasn't been the case. Travis Etienne struggled. He had 2 targets for 1 reception and 10 yards on 20 routes in the preseason. So 10% of his routes he's been targeted on. He has 0.5 yards per route run and a 37.9 PFF grade. That's pretty dismal. So I know that some of the film crew is coming out talking about how he had some problems as a pass catcher. We'll see how this unfolds. But maybe a little reason to be skeptical. I still think he's going to be the starter, and we have to wonder how much credit we give to preseason. But if you can sort of use him as a leverage up piece, if he's a top 12 asset right now, probably not the worst situation to do that in. Chargers, pretty clear to me. It's Kelly, Roundtree, Spiller as the injury away guys. Roundtree might not make the roster, so that would be something I would think about. Spiller hurt his ankle. It doesn't look like it's supposed to be serious, but that'll be a watch this week. Kelly's the clear running back too, and I think they're going to keep Spiller over Roundtree almost independent of what happens. So we'll see if they keep 4 running backs and how cloudy that would be going forward. Boston Scott actually started over Kenneth Gainwell. These guys didn't play in week 1, and there was no Jalen Hurts this week. So we'll see what the order of that is. I thought it was going to be Gainwell pretty convincingly, but Boston Scott's a guy that's out there that might still be available. So go ahead and check him out there on the waiver where it might be worth a buck add. D'Ernest Johnson played over Jerome Ford. We're still on the, is Kareem Hunt going to be back or is he going to be traded or cut? Watch. It looks like he's going to be kept, so we'll see how that looks. Antonio Williams started for the Giants ahead of Kenneth Brightwell. Breed is banged up and there was no Barkley, so keep all that in mind. I wonder if Antonio Williams could be like the running back too. I have a really hard time seeing this get all the way to week 1 where it's Antonio Williams or Matt Breida, basically the cast offs from the Bills offense that was led by Devin Singletary, be the backup running backs to anybody. But this feels like a spot where you get an injury, where you get someone that gets cut from a deep roster ends up as their back. Speaking of deep rosters, Baltimore, Mike Davis started for the Ravens behind J.K. Dobbins, who's been held out but expected to be back. Looks like actually Gus Edwards might miss some time. So to start the season, he might actually end up on PUP. So we'll watch for that. Davis could find himself in an injury away role. I know he got cut in some spots, so make sure he's taken up. You know, I think we've probably gotten back most of what was out there. But just keep that in mind. He's an injury away guy behind J.K. Dobbins, who's not fully integrated in this offense yet. Isaiah Likely has 12 catches on 12 targets for 144 yards. He's forced 7 missed tackles, and he had a 90 overall PFF grade. So really doing well this year for a guy in the 4th round that was like their 2nd 4th round tight end. So interesting there. Arizona, Eno over Daryl Williams is the note there on that backfield. So I just want to go through and sort of go through all of these. Again, I think you probably have some ability to make some moves on your waiver wires. Check out some of these guys. And I'll probably do a full running back roundup, running back rundown, I guess, show over the next, probably some point in the next like 10 days or so, as we head into maybe like right after cut downs, and we'll do it right, right before waivers run, going forward, into the season. So that'll pretty much put a wrap on this. I hope you enjoyed this little Tuesday. It's becoming a little bit of a training camp Tuesday rundown reaction stuff. So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope it's helpful to you. This will be just some of the stuff we're doing in season. This kind of format will be useful in season. We just keep going through teams and games and stuff like this where we take a look at all the data, take a look at the play-by-play and all that stuff, and get some actionable takeaways for you. So getting rounding into regular season mode here, as we transition from mid-August to now officially into late August and heading towards September. So that'll do it for this edition of the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.